Okay, everybody, I hope all is good. Today's daf is Bava Metzia daf Chaf, and we have the tremendous chus of finishing the first paragraph of the Masechta. And we are here on Yud Tes Amud Beis at the two dots, five lines up from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan. So Chazal taught us that Matzah Shuvar, if a person found a receipt, and again, what we're talking about here is that the husband had paid the ksuba. So basically, Bizmancha Isha Moda, and again, if the wife admits that she was divorced and she got her ksuba, so Yachsir Labal, you can give the receipt back to the husband. But Eina Isha Moda, if the woman does not admit it, so then Lo Yachsir Lulzev Lovzeh, right, we don't give it back to anybody. Bizmancha Isha Moda, Mias Yachsir Labal. But again, if she admits, right, again, we say, we mentioned that already. That's the question. Sorry. Okay, meaning, lo yachsir lo lezev lo lezev, right? If she doesn't admit, then she shouldn't, right? You don't give it back to anybody. So the Gemara just points out, bizman she... Problem is, right, again, if she admits that he paid the ksuba, so you can give it back to him. The problem is, why aren't we choshes like all the other cases that maybe, right, he wrote it up in Nisan, and then he didn't give her the get, and didn't give her, well, really, here it's the payment for the ksuba, didn't give her the payment for the ksuba until Tishrei, Vazla, and then she went, and Zavnasa the ksuba, Betovas Hona, and then she sold. Right, the ksuba, or for tovos hona, for a little bit of money, mean Nisan via Tishrei. Theoretically, right, a woman can sell her ksuba. Her ksuba is the ability for her to collect. Right, again, in the case of the husband dies or they get divorced, she collects a ksuba. If she dies first, she collects nothing. So theoretically, it's a potential future earnings, right, that has some sort of value. She could sell that for a little bit. Let's say she sold her ksuba to somebody else between Nisan and Tishrei. And then, then the husband all of a sudden has this receipt that he wrote up in Nisan, even though he only paid in Tishrei, and then let's say she sold her ksuba in Iyar, right? Really, right? Since he had to pay the ksuba right in Tishrei, if she sold the Iyar, right, the ksuba has to be paid right to the guy. But if it's written up in Nisan, right, so when she sold her ksuba in Iyar, so then she didn't have a ksuba to sell because it was already paid up. So the chore that the guy would lose out on the money. So again, if it's dated Nisan versus dated Tishrei is going to make a difference. Right, the guy is not going to be able to collect. Right, if he bought the ksuba, right, if it was predated, right, it turned out that he won't actually get the ksuba payment, even though he actually is entitled to the ksuba payment. So Rava says, Shema mina, isel de Shmuel. Rava says, this apparently proves Shmuel's shita. What's that? Amar Shmuel, hamukha shtachov v'chaveru v'chazer machlo machol. That if a person sells a shtachov, right, again, you sell a debt, right, to someone, right, someone owes you $100,000, and you sell that to somebody else for, I don't know, $20,000, right, and see if he can collect it. If the shtar is machol, if the loan is then forgiven, right, if you then go and say, you know what, I'm machol, you don't have to pay me back. That works. That actually works. And machol, and the shtar is machol. Right? I feel yorish machol. Even someone who inherits, meaning someone who inherits a debt, inherits the fact that someone owes money, can also, right, can be mochol. And so in that case, again, so what's going on over here? Right, we basically assume, right, that the husband, right, lost the shuvar, right, because if she could have theoretically been mochel, right, the ksuva, right, he owes her money, right, she could theoretically have been mochel, right, so since she could have theoretically just been mochel the debt. So we're going to believe her to say that, you know, the husband had the shuvar and we give it back to him. Rabbi says, no, afil teima less of the Shmuel. This doesn't necessarily prove Shmuel at all, because hachamayis kinan b'sheshtar ksuba yotzei mitachas yodah. Could very well be that she still has the ksuba. So then, obviously, she hasn't sold it. Right? So only in that case, right, you can give the shuvar back to the baal, to the husband. But if she doesn't have the shtar, if she doesn't have the ksuba, then we have to be concerned that maybe she sold it, right, and there'll be a whole problem. V'rava, Amar Rava says, right, he obviously doesn't like that. Imishim shtar ksuba, chashin and the shtik ksubos. Right? Maybe she has two ksubas. Right? V'abai, Amar, no, chada, first of all, the shtik ksubos is l'chashin, and we're not really choshish for that. V'od, and also, shuvar bizmano tarif, that a shuvar, whenever you have a receipt, right, that is already, that even if it's dated in Nisan, right, even if it was given in Tishrei, it still goes back to Nisan, meaning the receipt is in play in Nisan. So therefore, if she sold the ksuba then in Iyar, right, so then that was never an actually valid sale, because the shuvah of the receipt, much like right, it was other stuff, right? With perhaps a lien on property that would go back to Nisan, right? But when it was written out, when the Edim signed on it, right? We saw similar things earlier in the Masechta. So that is dated in Nisan, so you don't have to worry about the fact that maybe she sold her ksuba, because that was never going to be halachically valuable. And Abaye the Tameh, and this is Abaye's. By Shita, right, the Amar Eidav B'chasuma of Zachanlo, that says that Edim, right, on a shtar, right, already acquires him, meaning that makes the shtar valid, right, at the time in which the Edim signed it. So too, the Shuvar, right, would take effect, right, in Nisan. Okay, last Mishnah in the Perek says things that we do return. So matzah igaros shum, the shum is, in Hebrew is garlic, but that's not what it means. Right? The shum is an evaluation. Right? If you have a shtar that evaluated someone's property, so if theoretically you have to come and collect, let's say, $100,000, the guy's got $2 million in properties, and you know which properties to take. Right? Igaros mazon, letters that saying that the husband agrees to provide for, let's say, his wife's kids or whatever. Shtar chalitza, if you have a shtar that they did chalitza, umiyan, or miyan, that the miyan is with a ketana opt out of a marriage that she was put into by her mother and her brother because her father passed away. Shtar birurin, right? Shtar biru, we're going to talk about what that is exactly. Have chom ma'aseh beizdin, and anything that's already we had earlier a couple of days ago, right? Anything that's done in beizdin, so that harizah yachzir, right? Those you can give back. Matzah b'chafisa oba d'luskama, right? If you found it in some sort of box or whatever, some sort of container, tachruch shal shtaros, or if you found a tachruch is a bundle of shtaros, oh, aguda shal shtaros, it's also a type of bundle, we'll have to see what the difference is, right? All right. Excuse me, Hareza Yaxir, right, that is, you can return those. Again, that's because we have a simon, that's kind of like hints at the next parak with Eilat Metzias, because there is some sort of simon there. Kama Gudish Shostaros, how many is that? So that's Shlosha Ksurin Zebizet, that's three tied together. Rameshim Gamliel Omer, Rameshim Gamliel says, Echad Alova Meshlosha Yaxir Lalove. If you find someone who borrowed from three different people, so then you give it back to the borrower. And shlosha halovim min echad, right? If there are three people who borrowed from one guy, meaning the malva, right, lent to three different people, so then yachzer the malva, you give it back to the lender. Matzah shtar bein shtaros. So let's say you found a shtar between, right, other shtaros. Right, if any damati, he has no idea what's going on over here. So Rashi explains already that we found that it's not shaykh to him, meaning that he's not one of the parties. He's not one of the balei chovs in the shtar. Right, if you look at Rashi, etzlo im halove efkido etzlo o amalva o shema miktaso porua umasru lo lios shlish benayim v'shachak. Right, he somehow was a third party in this discussion, in this loan or whatever it was, this monetary thing, and he has no idea. He doesn't remember anything. He doesn't know what's going on. So yimunachad sheyavo aliyo. Right, that's set aside until aliyo hanavi comes. Em yesh imaim simponos. But if there is some sort of receipts, so then, yasem hashem simponos, right? You have to go based on what the receipt says, and obviously it seems to be obvious, right? We'll have to discuss what's going on over there. So Gemara says, my shtare birurin. What we said, one of the things that you can give back is the shtare birurin. The shtar literally levarer is to clarify or something. So what does that mean? What kind of shtar clarify something? Right? Hacha here in Bavel, Tirgum, they explained it as shtare tanisa, right? The shtaros that record the arguments of the Bali Dinim in Beis Din. And like, I forget what it's called, a court scribe, a court, there's a word for it in English, and I forget it. Okay, anyway, the guy writing down what's going on in Beis Din, right, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, that Pashas is again in Eretz Israel, right, so that Zebar lo echad, Zebar lo echad, it wasn't the arguments in court, it was each one choosing which judge to use. We'll see at the beginning of Masechas Sanhedrin, the way they chose a Beis Din, if they couldn't agree on a Beis Din, is that one guy would pick one judge, one guy would pick another judge, and then they'd figure out a third judge. So that would be this type of document. Okay. V'chol ma'aseh Beis Din, harizeh yachzir, you give back a ma'aseh Beis Din. Ahu gita d'shachach b'din d'ravuna. Again, we had this story a couple of days ago. There's a geth that was found in the Beis Din of Ravuna. And havaksive b'shviri masa d'al rachish nara. Right, it said this all happened in Shivri or Shviri, right, Shviri probably, on the right by this river named Rachis. And Ravuna said, Chashinish and Shnei Shnivri were nervous that there are two towns called Shivri, and therefore you can't give back the get. Amrle Ravchista the Rabbah, poke Ayin again, and Ravchista told Rabbah, do the Orta, go check it out, because the Orta, boy, the Ravuna Minach, is going to ask you Shaila, Ravuna is going to ask you right, from Makoros for this. So Navik Dak Vashkach, he went and he found the town, the mission says, Chol Maisa Bezin Reze Yaxer. Sure enough, he found something that goes against what he said. He said, any Maisa Bezin, you do give back. And then again, since the star was Mekuyim or whatever, get Mekuyim, right, so you should give it back. So Amar Leir of Amram the Rabba, Heichi Pashat Amari Sirim and Mamona. So Amram said to Rabba, right, 1 second, how in the world can you learn Halacha of Isurim, right, get, right, Isur Heter, whether a woman's divorced or not, from Mamona, right, monetary things, right, and that's a Beis Din, Shtar Beis Din is something from monetary, any type of monetary situation. If you remember, we did that beforehand, right, exactly what that is. But you know, they got, that's already monetary cases. How can you learn one from the next? Right, we pointed out several times that, at least in the stuff, the Omi cycle, that you can't necessarily learn from one realm to Allah to the next. So you have Toma and Taro, you have Visir Beheter, you have Dini Mamanus, right? You can't necessarily learn from, you know, halachos from one to the next. That's what Rav Amram said then. So Amarlei, Tarda, which is an insult, right? A Meshuggah or whatever, Shtari Chalitza Miyuntan. So Rabbi told Rav Amram, when you just look at the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah doesn't only list cases of mamonas, it also talks about chalitza, miyun, that's also isur v'heter. I said, that's, therefore, right, then it's totally relevant for me to connect it to, because the Mishnah already connects it to. So, paka arza de birav, and sure enough, right, and after that conversation, in the base medrash, there was a cedar, there's an arza, a cedar tree, and it's split in half, right, paka got broken in half, right, miraculously. So both of them obviously touched it up to say that that was a support for them. Amar mar, mishum latoy didi paka, avramar mar, mishum latoy didi paka, right, one of them says, it was my, that's because I'm right. One of them said, that's because I'm right. Okay. You know, interesting, fascinating sort of story over there. Tough. We pointed out in the past that there's certain shitas, right, that say that Amorayim never actually argued. Just you have to touch up how they phrased it and actually said it. They really, everyone was very nice to each other. Right, and other opinions, kind of read it as is and say that, no, right, the Mechamta Shel Torah, right, people are arguing in Torah and it's okay. Obviously, you know, trying to learn midos from these great people. Okay, vaita. Maza b'chafisa obed luskama, again, if you find any one of these containers. So my chafisa, what is that? Amarab bar barachana, chemes katana, right, it's a small wineskin. My deluskama, what's a deluskama? It's amarab bar shmuel, that's a talika de sabe, some sort of fanny pack for the, in the vernacular, something, right, used by sabe, by older people, so they could, you know, have all their stuff with them. Tachrich shel staros, right, o aguda shel staros, right, it's 10 rabbi with another rabbi. Kama hu tachrich shel staros, how many staros is there if you're going to have, you know, this tachrich is like things, something that's rolled up. So shlosha kruchim zebazeh, right, three of them. Kama hu aguda shel staros, sure enough, shlosha kshurim zebazeh, and aguda is if they're tied together, right, with, but, and a tachrich, shel staros is if they're rolled up together. Okay, shvami nakesha simon. Apparently, we see that if these three staros are tied together, that a kesher, a certain type of knot, right, is a simon that you can use. So tani hatani rabbi chia, shlosha kruchen zebaza. But what do you mean? Meaning the staros, that means that they're rolled all together. There is no knot. There's no what's it called? No, not necessarily. That maybe that could be, that would be a case of the what's called the aguda, that they're just rolled together, that they're not necessarily tied. But what do you mean? That's the first case, right? That's the takrich of shtaros. So you can't tell me that aguda shel shtaros doesn't have a knot. Says takrich, you're right. So we rephrase and we kind of re-examine and re-explain what the difference is. Takrich is kol chad v'chad brosh d'chad, right? Takrich is each one of them is rolled on top of each other. And aguda, right, is the ramu adade, they're placed one and then the kruchos, and then rolled. I'm not sure exactly, you know, how you would roll it up, what the difference is, nafkamina, like if they're put on top of each other, then they roll together, and then or they rolled and then kind of, I'm not sure. And I'm trying to visualize it, and it's not coming, but okay, seder. My machir is like, what does the guy announce? When he finds shtaros, so he said, the Gemara says minyan, right, the amount of shtaros that he finds. Gemara says my iri telasa filo treinami. So why does the Mishnah say that if that's true, right, that he announced how many he found? So what? Why three? Why two? You could also do two. So ella kurdam, meaning obviously one shtar fine, but like once you have a two, right, then we're saying that it's you know, it's something that he found from somebody, right? Again, it's noteworthy or whatever, right, that he found from different people. Huh. Right, because two is also, you could announce a certain number and the guy would be able to tell you. So, Elikadam, Ravina said, no, it's like Ravina says, Tivamachers. No, it's not exactly what you do. Again, Ravina said this about coins, and therefore you would explain that you would announce that you found coins without saying how many you found. And Hakanami Shtari Machers. So, here also, we don't say the number, right? Because the number, you know, it doesn't matter, two, three, whatever it is. Right? But here you say you found Shtaros, and then the guy has to say how many it was. And that's why the Mishnah says specifically three, because Shtaros is plural. So obviously, if you say you found Shtaros, so the guy's going to guess, right? Two is, you know, there's no Chiddush. There's no Chiddush in saying two. Obviously, you found two. It's at least, it's more than one, right? So that's at least by the fact that you said Shtaros. So therefore, it has to be at least three, right? It's because, so that the number, you know, is going to be significant. Okay. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Echad Alova Mishlosha, or Yachzer Alova. Again, the whole case, if you found three Shtaros with one guy, either the lender or the borrower being the same person, I should give it back to that guy. If you'll tell me that it's a case where it really it's three, you give it back to the three Malvin, right? My boy Gabe Hadadi, why in the world were these three Shtaros right together? So the Gemara says, well, Dilma Lukuminhu Osli. Maybe they were all going together to get the Shtars ratified, and you know, one guy's gone to Bezin, guy says, oh, take my Shtar, I also need it. The guy says, I'll take my Shtar, I also need it. So Gemara says, no, the Mekayme, they were already ratified, so therefore you don't need to do that. So Gemara says, Dilma, Miyada, Distafra, Nafil. Okay, so maybe it fell from the Sofer and the Bezin, right? The Sofer Bezin was ratifying, right, writing up the Kium, and he dropped them. So Gemara says, no, Lo Masha Inish Kium, Miyada, Distafra, no one's leaving the Shtaros. The moment they had the Shtaros ratified and certified, that he's not going to leave it in Bezdin for him to lose it and whatever, or you're going to make sure you get your hands on that star. All right, so it must have been from the from the borrower. Good, fine. So the Gemara says, Shlosh Shalavim Echad Yachzir L'malva. Again, if you find three Shtaros, three different people borrowed from one guy, you give it back to the Malva, to the lender. Again, same back and forth, right? If they fell from the lenders, why in the world were they together? So the Gemara says, Dumba the Mechtivin Hu Azli. Right, maybe they were going to write it up, right? The Shtaros, meaning that, and meaning that they didn't actually take the loans yet. But the star, but the sofer lost the shtaros that he was writing up for them. So Gemara says, if Klevi lost Yadei Safra, right? Apparently, right, the shtaros that they found, you have to say that the shtaros that they found were written in different handwritings, and therefore it didn't fall from the sofer, right? It must have fallen from the guy that they lent it to. The Gemara says, one second, right? Vidoma the Kaminu Hazli, maybe they were going to be. The Mekayim, the Shtaros, maybe it was in the hands of the borrowers, right? And they went to be Mekayim the Shtar. The Gemara says, borrowers don't Mekayim the Shtar. Why would a borrower make sure that a Shtar that he owes money is legit? Right? Malva Mekayim Shtar, right? Only a guy who lent money is going to certify and ratify his Shtar. Right? Lova lo Mekayim Shtar. Why in the world would he do that? Right? That's because that guarantees that he has to pay. So obviously it must have been, you can't say that, it must have been from the Malva. Okay. And Yeshimanim Simponos. If there are receipts, right, in the shtar, so you ask the mashav and simponos, you have to do what's in the receipts. So Amar Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba Amar Rav Simpon Hayotzim Mitakas Yidei Malva. If you have a simpon, if you have a receipt that the malva has, meaning that the malva has, usually obviously a receipt goes to someone who paid, right? A malva is waiting for payment. So if he has the receipt, right, so Afal Pisha Kozav Ksav Yado Eino Ela Kemesachik Upasol. Right, even though he it's in his own handwriting. I said, still, he's just messing around. He's just writing it like it's a game, right? And it's puzzle, meaning there's no way that receipt is legit. The shtar can still be govi, can still be govi the shtar that it was written for, right? In basin, meaning the receipt is no good. Now, obviously, that's against our Mishnah. Well, we're going to ask Akash on that in a second. So the Gemara says, and the Gemara continues about Rav Shita, that lo mi boya kasev ksav yad shofer, right? You don't even need to tell me that with the shtar is no, that the receipt is no good when it's written in the ksav yad, the handwriting of a sofer. Because it could be that the guy, the lender, found a sofer, said, you know what, write me up this receipt from whenever I get the money, and he just kept it with him. you know, and didn't actually, right, he didn't actually get paid back yet. I mean, the fact that he has it doesn't prove that he got paid. Ella afilu kasev b'ksav yado apostle. Meaning, because theoretically, he could have gone to the sofer and been like, I don't know when I'm going to see a sofer next. Give me a receipt for whatever the guy for whenever the guy pays me. But even if the guy himself, even if the lender himself wrote it up in his own handwriting, still it's puzzle. Because sovar, because he might have thought, by the Dilma Misrami of Spanish muscles, maybe I'm going to meet this guy who borrowed money from me right before Shabbos. He's going to want to pay me. And if I don't give him a receipt, he's not going to give me the money. Right, and therefore, echtov ana adchi aisi lizuza eten lo. Right, maybe I'll just write a receipt now, and I'll keep it with me, and I'll walk around with it, and whenever I see him, right, I'll hand him the receipt. So the fact that he has a receipt doesn't necessarily prove anything, right? That the shtar in question has been paid. So we're going to ask a bunch of questions on this, on Rav Shita, and then we'll get to the end of the parak. So, Tzan, first of all, what about our Mishnah, right? Yeshem simponos, yasem mashiv simponos, right? If you find receipts, do what the receipts say, meaning, so that's pretty straight up, straightforward. Stira, so Gemara's Kedar, Rav Safra, Gemara says like Rav Safra, right? Rav Safra, we're going to explain, I think in the next parak, I don't remember, Shinim Sabayin Shtar is Kurun, in a scenario where he found a receipt with ripped up shtaros, so we assume, right, that the shtar that was paid off because the receipt is with ripped up and discarded shtaros. So Achanamik Shema Matzav Bein Shtaros Kruin. It must be that he found the receipt in our Mishnah, meaning not in our Mishnah in the case of Ra. In our Mishnah, right? In our Mishnah, right, that we find the shtar when you find the receipt in shtaros that were ripped up. Right, we assume that that it's garbage and therefore, i.e., the shtar was repaid and therefore. Right, you would give back, you would do what it says, and therefore you wouldn't allow him to collect the debt. Okay, Toshma, what about another Mishnah? Nimtza le'echad ben ashtaros, ashtaros shel Yosef ben Shimon perua, shtar shneim peruyin. Wait, let's say, this is a case where you find there are two, a shtar that says Yosef ben Shimon's debt is paid, and there are two people with that name in town. So the halacha is that both of them, right, do not have to pay their debt, because you can't prove, right, you can't prove which one is which, i.e., so therefore we're going by what the receipt says, and that's against Rav and Rav Yirmi of Rabo quotes him. That's a damar. So Gemara says again, kishdamar Rav Safra, kishenimsa bo bein shtaros kruin. That's Achanami, kishenimsa bein shtaros kruin. Again, the same thing. You found it amongst, right, torn up shtaros. Therefore, we assume, right, that it was thrown out and discarded, and that the loan actually was paid. Tashma, I'll bring you another proof. The Mishnah also says that if you have Yisomim who come to collect money from other Yisomim, so they take several Shavuas. Shavua shelo pakadnu ava. First of all, Shavua that he didn't tell us that the debt was already paid, but their father didn't say the debt was paid. V'shelo amar lanu ava. And then our father didn't tell us at any point before, right, he died, right, that the loan or the debt had been paid. And we didn't find the receipt, right, in our father's shtaros that it was already paid, right? Apparently, if they had found a receipt, they would, they would accept the receipt and they wouldn't have to pay it. Again, also, that's if there's a receipt found in torn up documents or in torn up shtaros, so then that would have indicated that it was paid. Then that's what they're taking a shvuah over. Tashmal, bring another proof. Simpon sheyesh alav edim. If you have a simpon, if you have a receipt that has edim, so he's kaim bechosmav, right? You can certify it by kind of assuming and analyzing the shtaros, the signatures. By the chosmav, and then they can see that if these signatures are legit, so then the shtar itself is legit. So apparently, we see that the receipt could theoretically be legit. So the Gemara says, "Ema yiskayim bechosmav." What does that mean? What do you mean yiskayim bechosmav? No, it means the shalim lehu lasade iparua ilo parua. Now we ask the edim if it was paid, right, or not. I mean, if they saw it was paid, then fine. If not, right, so then you don't have to repay it. Other way around. Right, obviously the other way around. Right, if you saw that it was paid, so then they don't have to pay. And if you didn't, right, so then the receipt is good. Right, and lechora, again, the receipt, what they're saying is that the receipt itself is no good. It's just what is kind of bechosmav means that they should go to the edim and figure out exactly whether it was paid back or not. But the receipt itself, right, is not necessarily relevant, and that's what Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba and in the name of Rav, right, had said. That is puzzle. Okay, Toshma, one more last kasha, and then we'll finish up with Gufa. So Toshma will bring a proof of simpo sheishal of edim kasher. Again, pretty straightforward brisa. Again, if you have a simpom with edim, a receipt with that has edim, so then it's kasher. So the Gemara says, my edim, edikium. So we're not talking about edim, we're talking about edikium. They're maskim, again, edim that are mekayim, that the signatures, that the edikium, meaning they have edim that say that the signatures, right, the chasima, right, on the shtar is legit, and that already, right, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Abba has to be maskim too, because if you have a simple that has, you know, that has mamash edim that's already certified and ratified in Beis Din, that's actually legitimate. And hachinam mistaven, this makes a lot of sense. I mean, the tani sefer, because the end of that brisa says v'she'inol av edim puzzle, right, if it has no edim, it's puzzle. Obviously, my inol av edim. What do you mean? There's no edim. Elam edalek elav edim klal. If you tell me there's no edim at all, so obviously it's shuchamim the puzzle. You don't need to tell me that's puzzle. Elav edikim must be talking about edikim, right, edim that actually say that the receipt is legit, and there in that case, right, everybody would agree, right, that the receipt is legit, and you go based on what it says. Gufa, let's go back to what we just said. Simple and sheyesh all of edim, it's kind of bechosmav, ain't all of edim. So let's, I guess, translate, right, if there's edim on it, so then you could be miskayim, right, with the people who signed on it. Ain't all of edim, if there's no edim, then v'yotzi mitachas yad yedei shlish, but someone else has it, meaning not the malva, not the lova, but a third guy has it, Levi, a third party has it. Or it comes after the chitam shtaros, then kosher, then it is kosher. Then the receipt is kosher, and obviously he doesn't have to pay. Yotze mitakos yodosh shlish, what do you mean when it comes out of, I mean, the third guy has it? The ham hemena, malve l'shlish, because the malve, the lender, apparently trusted, but literally means believed, right? He trusted the third party, right, and gave him the receipt, so therefore it must be legitimate. I mean, they were trusting this guy to say that the receipt is legit and that the debt was paid, and he doesn't have to, you know, the lova doesn't have to pay again. Yotzei l'achar chitam shtaros nami, that also, what is that? Right, lav pareya lo havei marei leishtare, right, if it wasn't paid off, he wouldn't have messed up his own document. What that basically is that you have, after the chitam shtaros, after, again, they have a loan, a shtar that says, you know, Reuven owes Levi $100,000, and they sign, everybody signs underneath, and then underneath the signatures, then you have, l'achar chitam, right, after the signatures, then it says, then you have a simple, then you have a receipt that it was paid. Obviously, if it wasn't paid, right, the malva never would have let anybody write on the original IOU, right, that it was paid off. So therefore, right, it must be legitimate, and therefore we believe the simple. Okay, Hadron Allah, Shnayim Oksim, Baruch Hashem, Mazel Tov, and we'll go right and hail the Metzias tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on when you're listening to this.